This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And today we're asking you, have you upskilled or reskilled during the MCO? If so, how? You can get in touch with our poll on Instagram and on Twitter. On Twitter, we're doing a couple of options. We've got online courses, webinars, YouTube, and also didn't have time. On Instagram, we've got a yes and no. And you can also, I guess, you know, send in your response into what exactly have you been learning or why you haven't really had the time to learn as well. Let us know. Get in touch with us. Twitter at BFM Radio, Instagram at BFM Radio, or you could WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And then we'll be talking about how, I guess, online education and the paranoia around cheating, both from both parties, right? Students and teachers as well. And we'll be talking about how, you know, coronavirus might be affecting your mental health in terms of the anxiety.
Right. 10 sneaky ways your coronavirus anxiety is coming out. Sneaky.
Sneaky. Yeah. Anyway, you know, I thought it would be a good time to, you know, discuss about, I guess, the importance of upskilling and reskilling. You know, back in, I think it was in 1930s, it was deemed as the Great Depression. A lot of, I guess, you know, articles that I've read, they're coining this term as the Great Lockdown. So, you know, everyone is going through some sort of lockdown, whether it's MCO or, you know, circuit breaker in Singapore. But at the end of the day, it's trying to limit your movement. And so most of you end up working from home, which has become a norm, but also spending a lot of time at home. And when you do spend a lot of time at home, you tend to realize there may be some things where, you know, or at some point of time, you just go like, maybe I'll just go online and learn something, especially now, because a lot of things have either been free or on a major, major discount. So online courses, they're no strangers. And, you know, it's not like online courses was just booming now. It's been booming, I guess, for like, what, 5-6 years ago. And now it's really, I guess, you know, people are more aware about how online courses are and the benefits it can bring. But then there's also webinars, which we ourselves have started to embark on. Frida's done a couple, and, you know, I think the traction as well, you know, surprisingly compared to what we would normally do on videos, would never get that kind of reach. But now
they're at home.
So
people are watching, you know, webinars at home. And then there's also YouTube. I mean, I'm a personal fan of YouTube, and I've been learning a lot on YouTube. And it's not, you know, anything to do with work related. It's just, you know, personal skills that I want to learn, you know, servicing an aircon. Now I can
cooking.
Do that. Cooking, you know, now I can do that. So, you know, I'm just like figuring out what are the things that you could learn on YouTube. And I realize you can learn a lot. A lot. I've even built a website on just looking at YouTube videos for 4 hours, and there you have it. You've got, you know, a website all set up. And the scary part of, like, you know, I guess why we need to do this is because also we need to come to a realization that the importance of upskilling, reskilling is more present than ever, right? According to some research, Randstad, close to 9 in 10 of their respondents when they did a survey last year said that they will need to acquire new skills if they want to work in a digitally led environment. 9 in 10. You know, that's a staggering number, right? And there's another report by Work Monitor that, you know, said close to 9 in 10 respondents said that they also kind of need to take advantage of upskilling and reskilling when it comes to digital innovations. And especially now when we are living in a world where everything's digital, even talking to family members have become, you know, digital. I video called my sister who's based in Singapore on a daily basis. And the importance of that has just, I guess, been more, you know, more so than ever.
It's not only the fact that, you know, people are moving into what IR 4.0 or we are, you know, into IR 4.0, but it's also the fact that, you know, in this economic situation where we've heard about people being retrenched, and if you want to remain competitive to your employer or to a prospective employer, you have to have a little something over the people that they're interviewing. You know, if you, it's not just the current skill skills that you have in your job, you know, if you are already a permanent employee and you're worried about your job, you might need to upskill yourself during this time to remain critical to your employer.
Yeah, relevant.
And also, you know, for prospective employees, you want to be able to be better than some of the other candidates that come for those interviews. And, you know, you're doing everything online nowadays. You're most probably interviewing online as well. So what can you tell them about yourself, the stuff that you're doing right now to keep yourself busy, to impress them? So, you know, this is the time to upskill.
Sharala Axreed, who is the founder and also the CEO of Applied Data Science, she wrote an article on E27 a few weeks ago on the 25th of March, and you know, it's saying that, you know, if you're wondering when is the right time to start upskilling your workforce, the answer is not today, not tomorrow, not even yesterday. It's probably 3 years ago. And that is, you know, actually the realization that a lot of companies are actually way behind when it comes to digital adoption, and COVID-19 has brought on that importance. And I guess many businesses who previously felt like, yeah, it's okay, you know, I won't really do digital because nothing's broken. But then now when this has happened, that rush has, you know, has come on too. And you don't want to rush into digital transformation without actually, you know, considering how you're going to, a proper strategies involved, because this could be a long-term and it should be a long-term game. And she goes on and she gives some tips on how, I guess, you know, you could probably start. And the first one, which I felt was really important, is also self-motivation. Because it isn't only a leadership concern. Tech illiteracy is more likely to make the workforce redundant long before automation has the chance. And she's saying that by 2030, as many as 375 million workers globally will have to master fresh skills as their current jobs evolve alongside the rise of, like you mentioned, automation and, you know, capable machines. And this is according to McKinsey's Global Institute. So employees are just as responsible to upskill themselves, either through an organizational training or independent learning by proactively seeking out new skill sets and certifications.
You know, so I'm doing this course in design thinking. I was just watching this yesterday, and this is by this gentleman. He came up with this idea called the three-box solution. And this is about organizations, how you, when you talk about spending your resources, the first box is your current business, right? And you spend about 40-60% improving on your core business. And after that, the numbers are split between what we call box two is to forget your present. Whatever you're doing right now, to forget the present. And that is very difficult because you're always focusing on your core business. And actually, the box three is to imagine the future and do a hypothesis of what the future would be and be completely different industry, and to spend 20-30% of your resources preparing. And that's like 10 years.
But that's something that I think like most businesses won't do.
Right? And it's like this that you see...
But, you know, something like this, you know, I think no one was like fully prepared.
Of course, yeah. No one's prepared for this.
Something extent.
Yeah, but you look at Amazon, right? How it's evolved, right? Who would think Amazon Web Services when it was delivering books?
You know, so I did a very interesting interview a couple of years back on something called new collar jobs. So you know about blue collar jobs and white collar jobs, but what are new collar jobs? It's actually a term that was coined by a CEO of IBM, Ginni Rometty. And it's basically how, you know, this was years back, maybe I'm thinking about maybe 3 or 4 years back, where they talked about how the future of education, the future of work is not going to come down to that degree that you hold, but the different courses that you take up and that can actually show to your true potential or your true value. And it was so interesting to me because, you know, I think this country, and we are so hung up on, or maybe it's the Asian culture, that having that paper degree. But now you can do courses online where you can get like small little certificates that can actually really help you in your workplace, and you don't really need a degree or like in business administration or a master's in business administration. A small little cert could actually make the difference.
And plus, you know, at this point in time, everything's on a discount. Everything's on some COVID-19 discount, you know, or probably even free. So, you know, grab it and I guess, you know, take advantage of it. Now, we'll continue this discussion and we'll share some, I guess, you know, webinars that we have done that maybe will benefit you, and also maybe some online courses that you might have heard of, but maybe just need a reminder of how you can benefit from them in just a moment. And we will get through your messages. We're asking you, have you upskilled or reskilled during the MCO period? If so, how? We have a poll running on Twitter at BFM Radio, Instagram at BFM Radio, or you could send in a WhatsApp text message 018-789-8899. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jasandu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And today we're asking you, have you upskilled or reskilled during the MCO period? If so, how? You can get in touch on Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. What do we have on Twitter?
Yeah, so looking at our poll, we have about it's 28% who say they've taken online courses, 11% say they've done webinars, 24% are on YouTube, and 36% don't have the time. We also have one comment here from Dr. Cackle, who says that he's done free Coursera courses courtesy of MDEC.
Yep. Also on Instagram, the votes are currently about 52% are saying yes and 48% are saying no. Some responses. Christine says, I am learning German and relearning Chinese on Duolingo.
Wow.
Aminuddin Muhammad says, enrolled for an online course on Coursera. Delena says, more active content creator. JC says, learn to make sourdough bread without any experience of bread making.
Wow.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Lily says, LinkedIn learning and reconnecting friends with the knowledge and the specific skills. She also continues in saying, YouTube. And I totally agree with that. And Do Like Dot says, yep, online courses, definitely.
Okay, over here on WhatsApp. Hi, James here. I've been teaching online since the MCO, living the dream. I sense sarcasm. It can be quite draining. Long days in front of the screen, 10 to 12 hours, not including marking and prep, missing the classroom dynamics immensely as the students. I teach multimedia, which lends well to online learning. However, some of my colleagues that teach subjects such as science, biology, maths are having some issues delivering the program. We can only hope we are back in class next semester. So do I, you know. Husni says, I attended an online stock market class during MCO and I'm guilty of contributing the additional volume to KLSE recently. Don't feel guilty. The class was cheap, but it was impactful. The Sifu was really hand-holding us up to a point of coaching during real-time market, so it was an eye-opener. He went on to give the name. No free publicity. Ro, I've upscaled too. Managed to change my Zoom virtual background to impress those interviewing me.
There you go.
Always look forward to comments from Ro.
Actually, you know, we've done our own sort of webinar series as well. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the major ones that we did that really helped a lot of employers and also some employees who are in this uncertainty period is, you know, asking the tough questions, which Frida, you moderated.
Yeah. Right. So I think it was appealing to both employers and employees. Right. And that's why it probably got the traction. But it is very difficult, you know, and of course, talking to the lawyer.
Sunita Rotram.
Yeah. And she was like, I said, you must be busy. She's probably got a lot of work, you know, from employers and doing the right thing and the tough thing. Right. And of course, just making sure. I think when we talked during that time, I said, you know, as much as possible, there is also the letter of the law, which we can do a lot of things, but also the spirit of it and trying, you know, like Deepa George, she was saying how even though they had to let go of some employees, but the employers continued to buy the insurance for the rest of the year. So these are the things that you can do just to, you know, make sure that as much as possible, you're taking care of them.
I thought that webinar was also really good because we had Osman Rani on from Naluri, who actually spoke about the mental side of things. So thinking about your employees' mental health during this time. And, you know, some signs don't show, but you really need to be thinking about it from their point of view as well. Right. You know, you're the employee. You're trying to just, you know, keep the clocks turning and, you know, cash flow coming in. But there's also the issue of your employees during this time.
So there's a few things that you probably can do to help you, I guess, upskill and reskill. And, you know, you could do remote learning, which, you know, is I guess a lot of people are doing. But you could also use LinkedIn. And, you know, surprisingly, many people do have an account, but they just probably, you know, never got around to updating it. Or using it for its current purposes. LinkedIn Learning is like, you know, a great...
It's brilliant.
It's a great feature in there. But also just connecting, you know, freshing up your profile and sharing more info, but also going there to learn some stuff. Because I feel like sometimes the articles that you find on LinkedIn are really beneficial. And articles that you may probably never just come across because maybe you just don't visit those sites and you are around, you're surrounded by like-minded people, and it's more so important to, I guess, be surrounded by people who can help you learn new things.
So like for me, LinkedIn Learning is a great one for me. I'm also I'm on Masterclass, right? So I just see the different Sarah Blakely from Spanx. I've been watching her and just how she's, you know, building this business and the kind of, you know. So that was really good, right? Hearing her. And then I journal therapy. I went to this place called Center of Excellence, if you haven't checked that out, and cheap courses. And it was really good how we should, and it was like learning the course and also practicing it, because there's a lot of things that's going through my mind, and actually journaling helps it. And there's a process to it. It's not a diary. It's you know, like venting on paper.
So, you know, when I hear about everyone doing these online courses, you know, I kind of feel a little jealous because I really haven't had the time. And then, you know, I try my best to do our BFM webinars. So that's what I've been doing. But then I realize, you know, I just got it all of a sudden. No, I'm actually doing something to upskill myself as well. Not upskill, but kind of like to enrich myself during this this time. And that is, I've just been catching up on reading.
Yeah.
So like throughout the MCO period, I think I've done maybe 10, 11 books.
Okay.
And it's the kind of books that I've always wanted to read but never had the time. And it's just, you know, juggling between home and work. And these are like some real issues that I wanted to delve in. Like,
and home with a toddler as well.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So it's things like, you know, personal finance. So I've read up on some books on that. Self-limiting beliefs, you know, doing some motivational stuff. So I always thought like self-help was mumbo-jumbo. But, you know, I'm really getting into it now. It's scary. And also, you know, just stuff to kind of take care of yourself, your own mental well-being, mindfulness as well. So I'm actually upskilling that way too, you know, just reading a book or two.
Right, that book that I lent you.
Yes, that was
Girl, good. Stop Apologizing. That was the book for you.
So I won't apologize for not doing my online courses yet.
So, you know, in that sense, I think, you know, a lot of people have that same feeling, because even if you look at our poll, you know, 36%, which is the majority so far at the moment, are saying they just didn't have the time. And I can totally, you know, relate to that, because even when MCO began, I think for the first 1 month of MCO, I just didn't have the time to do anything. It's only after that where I felt like, oh my God, like, you know, feeling the jealousy effect of all your friends are going on online courses, doing this, and they're sharing it to you on WhatsApp because, you know, they're nice friends like that. But then they don't realize that, you know, I don't have the time to invest 4 or 5 hours in a day on an online course. But, you know, then you realize there are actually little things that you could do, reading a book or, you know, watching a 10 minutes YouTube or signing up for Masterclass where you could just pay, or joining one of our webinar sessions, which is only an hour, but the information that you get sticks with you, especially if you dedicate your time. When you do those kind of things, simple things like just making sure you have a pen and paper and, you know, or a book that you have, and note down the things that you learn. Instead of just consuming it and letting it sit in your mind, because the mind is an infinity hard drive and it's very hard to retrieve some of the information. Yeah. Writing it down is a lot easier.
So Jeff Zandu had course envy.
Yes, so did I. No, but I understand what you're trying to say, Jeff, because sometimes when you read something and then you just put it at the back of your head, but if you actually put it down, then you're actually kind of like reinforcing that lesson and then it just feels like you're having an extra learning. But yeah, I remember the first month as well. It was so draining because we were just reading news, you know, we're just trying to keep track of what's happening with our country and what's happening abroad as well. Will this lockdown end after 2 weeks? Nope, you know. So, you know, that was what's going on. And I remember, I think
will
it was...
Won it, you know?
Yeah. And I think I heard it on BFM where someone just said that it's an information overload. It's a news overload. And what you need to do is you need to put the news aside and, you know, read something else. And that's when I decided, okay, this is the time to read a book.
Yeah, we are in the world of infodemic, which is, you know, it's not just a pandemic, but just information where it's coming from WhatsApp and stuff. I remember, I think there was a period of time where there was a public holiday in between the week. I think it was on a Thursday was a public holiday. So we had to get back on Friday. For Thursday till Sunday, I actually didn't know, I didn't see the news, didn't bother about reading about the news. I actually had no idea. When my mom asked me, like, how many positive cases do we have today? And I looked at it and was like, actually, you know what? I have no idea.
Right.
I've just been out of it.
And it was fine that you didn't know, right? Yeah.
You know, my world still continued on. I was just, you know, learning. So sometimes it's good to just take a step back and then just focus on your own self, because whatever happens outside will still happen at the end of the day. So,
but yeah. I do get my, I don't watch the press conferences anymore, but I do get my COVID-19 Malaysia update at about 5-6 o'clock. Oh, okay.
So you, yeah, so you know, there's so many ways where you can get information, right? You don't have to really dedicate so much time. Try to maybe refocus or realign some of your time, reading a book like Audrey does, watching a YouTube video or a masterclass, you know, or just going to facebook.com/BFM radio. We've got a whole bunch of webinars there, and there'll be a whole bunch of webinars coming up later on as we go through the new norm. And if you're thinking of what are the kind of skills that you should relearn or I guess upskill yourself, according to the Society of Human Resource Management, they found that 37% of employees cited the problem of the issue of problem solving and critical thinking is lacking among the top soft skills that candidates are, well, I guess, you know, lacking. So if you could, you know, go on and look for problem solving and critical thinking skills, that's going to be a huge advantage. And it doesn't have to be just data driven, because everyone knows AI, data analytics, emotional intelligence, those are the big things. But, you know, what about the soft skills, which is problem solving and critical thinking? That's more so important now than ever. Get in touch with us. Let us know, how have you been upskilling or reskilling yourself during the MCO period? Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. And we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the Business Station.